Welcome to My Journey of Faith, hosted by Cynthia McCutcheon, wife, mother, Bible teacher, and speaker. A gathering place for Christian women to proclaim the love of Christ by sharing compelling life stories to encourage, inspire, and equip women on their personal journeys of faith. For the next 30 minutes, please join us on this journey. Here's your host, Cynthia McCutcheon.
Hello, everyone. I want to welcome you to My Journey of Faith today. I am very excited because our topic is about reclaiming our royal inheritance. My guest today is Heather Ablonde. She has over 10 years of experience being sought as a speaker. She's traveled all over the United States and abroad sharing her message with people of all ages. She is very active, volunteering her community or working with organizations such as Mothers Against Drunk Driving and the March of Dimes. She has successfully lobbied for legislation on the state and national level for both of the above groups. Before stepping out into the full-time speaking career, Heather worked as a prevention specialist for Baltimore County Bureau of Substance Abuse and the Young Driver Safety Program Coordinator for Maryland Highway Safety Office. Heather competed in the Miss America scholarship pageant, where she won over $32,000 in scholarships for her college career. She held the titles of Miss Maryland America 2003 and Mrs. Maryland International 2008. I'm very excited to have her. She's got so many different professional achievements and awards, and just talking about our royal inheritance and how we reclaim it.
Hi, Heather. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing today?
Just fine. I'm so excited that you've joined me, even on vacation.
Yes, on vacation. I'm currently sitting outside at the beach, so if you hear lots of beach noises in the background, you'll know what that is.
Well, it will just put us all at ease.
Yes.
Thomas, I love the beach. Like I mentioned just a few earlier, I just got back from the mountains, and I need a beach to get over that.
Right. We're trying to make sure we stay away from any sharks, though.
Exactly. Well, Heather, share with us a little bit about your story and about how what God has done, what God has shown you in your life, and what He's working with, and this topic on fatherhood.
Sure. So my story is, my mom and my dad, they met while they were in high school. My dad was the guy that all the girls wanted to date and all the guys wanted to be. He was extremely attractive, very popular. He was the guy that just lit up the room when he walked into it. Unfortunately, he also had addiction issues that started at the age of 14 years old. And my mom thought that by marrying him and that her love could change him. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, she found out the hard way that you can't change anybody that doesn't want to change. That she was married to him and he continued drinking and using drugs. And that was my childhood. My dad was gone more than he was around. There were lots of broken promises, lots of missed holidays and birthdays. They eventually got divorced when I was 7 years old because my mom decided that she just could not be with him anymore and that she couldn't have her children with him anymore. And from the time that they got divorced until his death in 1994, when I was 17 years old, I could probably count on my fingers and toes the number of times that I saw him. And unfortunately, the drinking and the drug use ultimately led to his death, because he was at a bar one Friday evening, left after drinking excessively and using cocaine and heroin, was on his motorcycle, ran a stop sign, and was hit by a minivan, and passed away 2 days later as a result of his injuries at University of Maryland shock trauma. And so, all growing up, people would say to me things like, I grew up in the church, says, you know, what you think about God is the most important thing about you. And unfortunately for many of us, we view God through the lens of our earthly fathers, and that lens is damaged and cracked and broken. And even if you had a great father here on earth, you know, I look at my daughters and my husband's an amazing father. But they're going to grow up in a world and in a society that, you know, tarnishes the roles of fatherhood. You know, the Windex commercial, the dad's a bumbling idiot that can't even figure out how to wash the windows.
Exactly.
Even in our Christian movies, in Mom's Night Out, the movie that we build is this, you know, Christian family film. Mm-hmm. They portray dads as not being able to take care of the children and not being able to figure everything out, you know, without having mom around. And, unfortunately, for many of us, even if you have the greatest father, you know, your lens may not be cracked, but it's been cracked. And if in the Bible, God reveals himself as a father more than any other way. And so it makes sense that Satan would want to attack that and would want to attack the one main way that God reveals himself to us.
I agree with that. You know, so many times we are sitting there watching Hollywood just bash the man, either through commercials or whatever, and I agree with you about the Mom's Night Out show. My husband was not that. He could do those things. He is a great father, and he could, I felt comfortable with him always with my children.
Right.
Sometimes
I think
that,
you know, we're people than I am.
Exactly. Exactly. I know that there are some out there going, well, that's not my husband. And that's true.
That is true.
You know, we are blessed to have that. So how's this, let's kind of go a little bit about how that worked with you a little bit deeper in your walk with God.
Right.
Because I do know several people. I had a wonderful father figure. But I know a lot of young girls even today that are struggling with this. Their father, you know, has even told me their father said, I wish you weren't even here and things like that. So they're having really good trouble relating to God as a father.
Yeah, and that was definitely me. And, you know, it's not something that I think you ever fully get over. Mm-hmm. When you get through, but God does bring healing. And so I would, you know, before I even get into it, say that there is hope. And I've come so far from where I used to be. But, you know, I grew up in the church, considered myself Christian pretty much my entire life. Jesus was the child, right? So, you know, I felt like I had this relationship with Jesus, but when it came to picturing God in heaven, I saw him as distant, and I saw him as someone that I needed to perform for to get his attention and to please, and that if I didn't perform well enough, that he wouldn't be there for me. And he did not, in my mind, he was not someone that was close to me. It was, you know, the visualization of the big old guy on the ground really, really far away. And I know that because that's what my dad was. My dad was distant. He was far away, and I tried the best I could to perform and do well and get his attention, and that just carried right over into my faith life. And that, you mentioned that I competed in the Miss America pageant. And that was a lot of it. It was performing for God and trying to, okay, if I do this for you, will you love me? Well, if I do this for you, will you be close to me? If I volunteer for this organization, will I get your attention? And unfortunately, when, you know, because I really, really, really wanted to win Miss America, and that was a huge goal. turn 24 and you age out. Huh, 24. There's such babies.
I know.
So when you age out of the Miss America system and age 24, and I had not won, I had a real crisis of faith because I felt like that I wasn't good enough for God. And that if I had performed well enough, I had prayed enough, and that's something that he would have given me. And I felt like he withheld that for me, like my father withheld his love. And it was just, it was very, very difficult. Because it's not that, I knew God well enough to know that it wasn't that he was not capable of giving me what I wanted. I knew that he could. And so it was a matter of flipped from me. And I thought that it was my failure was the reason that he withheld it from myself.
Wow. So where did you get to the point of finding freedom?
It was a really, really long journey. One of the main things that God used in my life was my husband, and the love of my husband. My husband came to Christ later in life, in his mid-20s, and he has such a childlike faith, you know, and he loves God and knows that God has the best for us and just trusts in his plan, and it was my husband's unwavering faith in God and unconditional faith. And then also his unconditional love for me, despite any flaws or failures and everything, and him always pointing me back to God, it started me on the road to see God for who he really is. And again, it's been a long journey. And there are times that I'll say something and my husband's like, you know that's not true. You know that's not why that happened. You know God had a plan for why you didn't, you know, go to Miss America or win Miss America. He didn't withhold things from you. He had the best for you. When you first meet someone, you kind of think they're cute, and it's a couple weeks in, you think, oh, let me look up their name and see what their name means on the computer. And so I did that with my husband. His name was Stephen. And when I looked up his name meaning, I learned that Stephen means crown. And, you know, all those years, I chased an earthly crown.
How cool!
Really, and praying to God for a crown. God, give me a crown. Give me a crown. I want this. So, you know, and he gave it to me. It just wasn't what I had thought it was going to be. But I've learned it was the best. The better version of it. It was really been a journey to be able to get to that point.
I love that. I love how God gives us things in the most unexpected ways. And
yeah.
Even the things that we most desire in His way, He gives them to us.
Exactly.
That is cool. That is cool. So through this, you've been able to go out and share and speak with women of all ages. What is your premise? What are the things that you go on and you share, the things that God really puts on your heart?
Right. Well, I think, you know, my greatest desire is for women to know who God truly is. And in light of that, know who they are. In light of who He is, and then to live out that identity with their faith with absolute abandonment. And so, you know, one of the greatest ways that I really learned who God was and the character of God was studying God, the Hebrew name for God. it's a beautiful way to study God and His attributes. And the other thing is, you know, Jesus says, you know, if you have seen me, God, there's plenty of Jesus and His life, and to realize that God and Jesus, you know, they're the same, and that, you know, we can't wrap our brains around that. You know, they're in our kid's mind. And so that, but to know that if you study the life of Jesus, that you are seeing God Almighty, and you are seeing His heart, and they're one and the same. And so when we do that, and I just be able to go through our lives, I encourage women to go through their past to create what I call big rocks. Like when Joshua and the Israelites were crossing the Jordan into the Promised Land, they set up 12 rocks, one for each tribe of Israel, on the bank of the Jordan as memorial stones for all that God had brought them through, bringing them out of Egypt. And so, for me, I go through my life, and I pull out my big rocks, and things that, you know, that I thought were horrible, that at the time, a lot of times, that God used for good, is that the weekend that my father was brought into the University of Maryland Shock Trauma after his crash, ABC News, Turning Point, which was a television show that used to be on, it was a news documentary type show, but kind of like a 48-hour ride, headlined by Barbara Walters. They did a documentary called Drunk Driving a Light. Yeah. And they inquired, one of the segments was profiling two men, and one of those men was my father. Mm-hmm. And they did not tell us that they had filmed him being brought into the emergency room, being taken out of the ambulance, the doctors and nurses working on him. They saw him. You see him laying in the hospital bed, his fiance laying over him, and you hear him screaming. And all of this was broadcast on national television, and we were not warned. We had actually sat down as a family to watch the show and had no idea that we were going to see my dad on there. And at the time, I just felt so violated, and I couldn't believe that God would allow one more bad thing to happen. How could they do this to us? In hindsight, it was such an amazing blessing, because when I was asked to speak at a high school graduation, or Front Promise, simply before graduation and prom, the May after my father died, he died in 1994, so May of 1995, I used at the beginning of my presentation, and I, at 17 years old, stood on a stage in front of 2,000 high school students that were getting ready to go to prom and graduation. I played that video, and I didn't tell who it was until right before I hit play. I explained what they were going to see, and I said that the reason that this video means so much to me is because the man in the video is my dad. And from that moment on, you can hear a pin drop. And I used that video, and I still use that video in my presentation. You know, it's been 20 years, and I'm still using that, and that video is still having such an impact. And I just look at, I mean, that's a big rock in my life, and I have to look back and I just see God's hand in that. Who has something like that?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And done and edited, and I was Barbara Walters and Apple Hayer, you know. And I have this tool that I can show to people, and especially young people, to be able to say, you know, my dad wasn't that person that you look at across the classroom and you think, oh, they're not going to do anything with your life. You know, my dad was the guy that, you know, everyone thought was going to do great things, but the alcohol, the drugs, got the better of them, and if it could happen to my dad, it can happen to you.
Exactly.
And to be able to have that visual aid, it makes it so much more real for the students. And you, so I encourage women to go through their lives and look for things like that, because we all have that. It may not be on such a grand
I love that. There is so many times when I've got some little rocks on my windowsill. And I've written on them, you know, different places, you know,
right.
I had picked up the rock from and what it meant to me and things like that.
Right.
And people will look at it and they'll go, I get that one, but I don't understand that one. But, you know, I started doing that because at one point in the Bible, and I'm sorry, I can't tell you exactly where it is, it says, God has been with us thus far.
Right.
And, you know, I love how you say that. Pick up those rocks. Find those big rocks that will remind you that God's been with you thus far, even through the bad, even through the hard, even through joyous occasions. God's been with you.
Exactly. And then, you know, and once you do that, and it's something you never stop doing, that you go through that process and go get real rocks. Like you said, mm-hmm. I have real rocks. I have these bricks on them in my house because I need to see those.
Exactly.
On, you know, the side of the river. And I encourage women to do that. And then once they've done that, go through the scriptures and look for places where it describes who they are. Now, I give specific verses and I can, you know, take people and I encourage people to put their name, you know, for God to love the world that he sent his one and only son so that to be are. You know, I believe, Lord, but help me in my doubt. And for people in our churches to give women that freedom to express that and to not look in judgment over that.
I think that's wonderful because, you know, so many times we maybe because of our own life situations, we don't know how to react, and we maybe don't know how to extend that grace because we think everyone's that way. But yeah, I love how you point that out, and to be able to let people share their story honestly, because you know, so many times we grow just from that's the point of this radio show is just to hear people's stories so that we can grow from them. They may not be just like ours, but somewhere in the mingle of it all, something ties and something
attaches. Yeah, exactly. And to not just, you know, blow people off to say, oh, well, I'll be praying for you for that.
Mm.
You know, because I think a lot of times we do that, right? You know,
exactly.
We share something difficult that we don't quite know how to handle it or deal with it. And so we're like, oh, well, I'll be praying for you.
Uh-huh.
And we just to get in the trenches with people and to do the work with them. And help them through the hard times and being open to painful emotions and difficult emotions. I mean, that is what it means to be Jesus to people, because that's what he did. He met people where they were, and he walked through difficult times with them.
Exactly. Well, Heather, we are about out of time, so I want to give you just a few minutes to talk to our listeners. Give them a word of encouragement. You know, it can be for the whole broad spectrum of how we get caught up in legalism, or we want something so badly, or it could be even, you know, for the woman that is struggling with seeing who God is in their life, whether it be a father figure, whether it be a friend. I know that was a problem with me for a long time, was seeing God as a friend. But the different things, you know, encouragement.
Sure. Thank you so much for listening. And, you know, just the fact that you are listening to this program, you know, tells me that you are a person that has a heart for God. And I would just encourage each one of us that, you know, when we open our scriptures, we open the Bible to read it, to not look at it as an exercise of something that we have to do, to just check off the box, to not look at it as our daily. For our little, almost like a self-help book, but to open those Bibles, to seek after the heart of God. In Matthew 7, Jesus says, ask and you will receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened to you. And I believe that seeking after God it needs to be not like when you're playing hide and seek with your child, and for the 10th time, and you're like, oh, I'm just going to let him hide, let me just sit down on the couch and rest a few minutes. But instead, it is a desperate seeking, like when you have lost that child in the mall and you can't find them, you are desperately seeking after them. And so we need to be seeking God in those pages of scriptures desperately for our souls. And because we have such a great love for him, and the great thing is that he promises that he will meet us in that seeking, and he will allow himself to be found. And so whether or not you had a great earthly father, or he was non-existent, or just horrible in your life, you will find God as the true and ultimate father on the pages of scripture.
Heather, that is wonderful, and I want to just agree with you on that, because when you seek him, you will find him, and that
mm-hmm.
is so true. Well, Heather, I want to thank you so much for being on the show with us today. Now, tell our listeners, if you will, your website address, and go
sure.
ahead and spell out that last name.
Okay. So, it's
obviously
www.heatherabondi.com. Blog there on a fairly regular basis, trying to make it a little bit more regularly. But I also write for Celia
Wonderful. And you do speaking all over?
I do. I travel around speaking. And so if this message is something that you think that would be good for the women in your church or your women's group, you can contact me through my website. It's my goal to bless women with my story and with my words. And so if that's something that I can do for your church, I would love to talk to you about that.
Wonderful. Well, Heather, I want to thank you so much. And thank you for taking your time out of that beach vacation.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to getting down to the water.
I bet. Well, you go play. Thank you.
Thank you.
And for those of you listening, I want to thank you also for joining us. You know, my journey of faith is here to share this the paths that we go down in our individual lives so that our path may not equally line up with someone else's, but they walk similar in so many ways. So we're here to encourage each other, to share the stories, and to just put each other on a journey of faith with God and encouragement. I just ask that you just find us at myjourneyoffaith.com or on Facebook, My Journey of Faith Radio. We'd love to hear your story. If you have one that you would like to share, just contact us. We'd love to get your encouragement out there because every story is important because God has placed our stories on a path that brings us closer to Him. Until next week, I pray that you have a blessed and wonderful day and week. And just enjoy Him. Lean into Him. Get to know Him better. Till next week. Bye-bye.